to my Heavenly Father for giving me another opportunity that I can share His word with His people. I indeed feel honored to do this today. But before I get into the word, I would like to pay tribute to two members of God's household who are getting ready to relocate, and I was staying with them, and their hospitality was beyond. And I don't know if I'm going to see them again. I don't know what the Lord is directing and how He's leading, but I have the opportunity to let them know that I will always love them and care for them and cherish the moments that I spent with them. And I wrote something here to share with both Tommy and Marilyn Lee on their relocation to Pear City. The scripture I chose was Isaiah 31:5. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, He will deliver it. And passing over, He will preserve it. Isaiah 31:5. With hurrying wings, the eagle hastens to the protection of her young. She wastes no time on her journey to supply them with food or guard them from danger. With outspread wings, she covers her little ones in the nest. She hides them away by covering them with her own body. The hen yields her own warmth to her chicks and makes her wings a house in which they dwell in safety. Thus has the eagle with the Lord come to the defense of His chosen. Yea, He will ride upon the wings of the wind. Yahweh is the protection of His elect. He is your rock, your refuge, your abode, your all. He is your ark of safety. As birds flying and covering their young ones, so will the Lord faithfully and carefully be unto you. You shall be defended and preserved from all evil. Though exposed to all sorts of danger, you need not be afraid. For His Holy Spirit shall be your comfort. The Lord who compares His action to that of birds will not be like them in their feebleness. For He is Yahweh Nissi, the Lord of hosts. No one can destroy Him, for He is an undefeated, indestructible combative force to contend with. He is your strength and your salvation. He will turn your mourning into dancing and cause you to put off your sackcloth as He girds you with gladness and gives you victory over your enemies. Let this be your comfort. Almighty God will be swift to succor and sure to cover you. For His wing is quicker, safer, and gentler than that of a bird. Therefore, you must put your trust in His protection and remain in His shadow forever. When you wait patiently for Him to help you, He will listen to your cries and lift you out of every pit of despair, out from every bog and mire, and set your feet on a solid path, steadying you as you journey along your way. He will give you new songs of praise to sing unto Him, so many could hear of your glorious accomplishments, and then they will stand in awe before Him and put their trust in Him. Your hearts need not be troubled. Instead, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of anyone or anything. For the Lord your God is with you to help and uphold you with His victorious right hand as you walk along the way. Because of Him, you would not be overthrown by evil circumstances. His constant care of you will make a deep impression on all who witness it. Do not allow bad news to make any significant impact on your lives. Neither should you live in dread of what will happen to you. Therefore, with unwavering faith, trust in his defending power, and allow his grace to be the empowerment of your boldness, so you may fearlessly face life's challenges. It is also imperative that your minds be focused on his promises, that he will take care of you as a mother hen tends to her eaglets. May these words register deep in your heart. Wherever you go, he's going to be with you. He's there watching. He knows everything, and he is in charge. God bless you. Praise the Lord. At this present time, I must come to the presence of the Lord, asking him to take control and let me be reduced and let him increase within me. It is not my will, but his will be done. It's not what I want to say. It's what he wants to say through me. And as I come to him, I bow before his holy presence and ask him to take full control. Oh, Abba, here I am. Humbly beseeching you to take full control, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. It's not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. I need you. I am weak, but thou art strong. Thou Almighty, be in charge. I have subsided. I've given you everything. I'm asking you, speak to your people. Let them hear the words from your heart through my mouth. Father, have thine own way. In the name of Yeshua, amen. This afternoon, my message is being taken from Matthew 15, from verse 21 to 28. You want to bring up the scripture? Oh. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But He answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. But she said, Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at that once. At once. My theme is God's delay is not his denial, it is just a test. We see Yeshua had an encounter with a Syrophoenician woman, Canaanite woman. If you know, if you read a little, go a little backward, it tells you that Yeshua had encounter with the Pharisees, and they were condemning his disciples because they did not wash their hands before they eat, after the tradition of their elders. And Yeshua told them, not what goes into your mouth defiles you, what comes out of your mouth. Not what comes out of your mouth defiles you, it's what goes into your mouth. I know, I think I'm having it wrong. Lord, take control. Yes, not what goes into your mouth defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart, that is what comes out of your mouth. And his disciples told him that they observed that the Pharisees, they were annoyed with him. And his words to them was, leave them alone. The blind cannot lead the blind. And we know when someone is blind, they grope around because they don't know where they, especially if it's an unfamiliar surrounding. They grope around, they feel around to find out where they may get direction as to go to where they want to go. And he referred to the Pharisees as blind men. And Yeshua was so fed up that he decided to retreat to Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre is a city, it was in Phoenicia, which is now Lebanon. Both Tyre and Sidon, they're like 20 miles apart. And in those areas, the people were idolaters. They worshipped foreign gods. But there was this woman. She heard about Yeshua's visit to that area. And she had a situation in her life that was so overwhelming that she had to seek him for help. She had the belief in her heart that when she goes to him, he will be the answer to her prayer. And she went to Yeshua. And this was her prayer. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now we don't know what to what extent the spirit had possessed or spirits, whether she had lesions or whatever, we don't know. But we know that when we're dealing with Someone that operates naturally. And they're demon possessed. They may be liars. They may be confusion makers. Whatever. We detest to be around them. We just hate to be around them. And imagine this child. She was demon possessed. You don't know how uncomfortable it was to be around her. You don't know to what extent the spirit of spirits would push her to do things, you know, that was not becoming. We know we read in the Bible about this man that he was demon possessed and used to be all in the cemetery. Right? But we know that it was a situation that this woman couldn't bear anymore. And it could have been that it was so bad that she couldn't even bring her daughter. So she went to Yeshua herself. She went to plead on behalf of her daughter, as we should plead on behalf of our children and our family members. And this woman, her prayer was short. Her prayer was deliberate. She knew what she wanted. And her prayer was honorable, respectful. She knew that Yeshua was the Lord. She knew that he came from the stock of David. So she said, Lord, Son of David. She honored him. She was determined to get what she wanted. And she went with respect, as we are supposed to go to God. You know, sometimes when we get into the presence of God, we do not even honor him. We just go before him and we just start to relate our problems. Yes, sometimes our problems could be overwhelming. But we need to honor our master when we get in his presence. This woman, her prayer was logical. Because when Yeshua spoke about not taking the children bread and giving it to dogs, she rationalized with him. She said, yes, even the dogs eat the bread from the master's table. Because when you have a dog, we see the love that a lot of people show towards animals. Some have their dogs in the house and they're eating. They may give the dog some food. It is the dog is a member of the household. He's an important member of the household. So, okay, I'm a dog. But then I have my rights too. This woman, she was so persistent. I could imagine everywhere Yeshua went, she was behind him. Because she was insisting that she will not leave his presence until she got what she wanted. That is the attitude we are supposed to have. When we get in the presence of God, we are supposed to stay there until our prayers are answered, even if it takes you 20 years. Don't give up. The darkest hour is right before dawn. Sometimes you get overwhelmed with situations. And a lot of people will say, why me? But why not you? It's just a test. To see how faithful we are. To see how persistent we can get. To see how respectful we are unto God. to see how fervent our prayers are. It's just a test. Are we going to pass that test? How are we going to graduate? For you to go from one class to another, or one stage to another, you must graduate. Because if you cannot deal with your present circumstances, how can you advance to major circumstances? So we have to have tests in our lives. I have had tests. Some I failed. Got to do them repeatedly, but eventually pass them. Some I pass just like this. But I have to pass my tests before I can move onwards. Yeshua came to bear our infirmities. And I guess the disciples couldn't understand that. That's why they told Yeshua to send this woman away. Or cries. I guess they couldn't take her cries. You know, women could be nagging. You know when women want something, how persevering they can be? They don't let down on that topic until they get their point over. And that's a strong woman. That's a strong woman. She means that she's going to stay on target until our mission is accomplished. And this woman, she portrayed such character. She stayed. She was unmovable. She was persistent. She was determined. And the disciples, because they really couldn't understand the purpose of God and his will, they told Yeshua, send her away. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 to understand what was one of Yeshua's mission. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. 53, 4 and 5. He came to bear our infirmities. 53. Right. 4. Verse 4. Right. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. Yeshua came to bear our infirmities and to heal all those that were stricken or is stricken with diseases. And let us turn to Isaiah 61 and 1. That was another reason for him to be, for his mission on this earth. Isaiah 61 and 1. He came to liberate those that were in prison and to set the captives free. He came to give us our freedom. 61. No, hon. 61. Yes. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. He came to give us our freedom. That child was in bondage. That child was in prison. And one of the reasons that he came is to give us freedom from demonic spirits. And this woman came for that reason. And Isaiah 42, 6 to 7, he came to give sight to the blind, to exonerate those that are held in prison, and to enlighten the paths of those that are walking in darkness. He is a light. He is a light of our lives. When we have him, we shall not walk in darkness. And the disciples couldn't comprehend that. Had they would not have told Yeshua to send this woman away. But then, Yeshua, he stayed quiet. Because he just wanted to see what this woman would have done. And that happens to us. Sometimes we are on our knees and we praying and we beseeching. Oh, Lord, heal me. I am so afflicted. My body is in so much pain. Look at my children. I can't even take care of them. And Yeshua is quiet. He don't hear anything. And we just tell ourselves, well, probably healing is not for me. But it's a test. If you be persistent enough, you will gain his attention. Do not walk away. When you walk away, you're walking away from his promises. You are being rude. Yes, you know why rude? Because you do not know when you come in the presence of Yeshua, what is going on? What is his plans? And then you just walk away because you tell yourself, I have been praying for this situation for 5 years and he has not answered me. Boom, back burner. And at that time, he was about to work in your life. Oops. You may have to start praying all over again for the same situation and wait even longer. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:24 said that Yeshua bare our sickness in his body on the tree, that we being dead unto righteousness, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed. He received, was it 40 lashes less one? Look at what he went through for us. You think he just went through all this because he is the Son of God and he could go through this? He went through this because he loved us. And we must think about what he went through for us. And we must be able to have that affirmative belief that he is able to do anything that we ask of him, providing it's within the will of the Father. He will not turn us away. Do not be disheartened. Don't matter how overwhelming the situation may be. Remember, you are short-sighted. You can't see beyond the horizon. You don't have that eyes to go into infinity. So all you have to do is have faith to trust in him. 1 John 3:8 says, his mission is to destroy the works of the devil. That is why he was made manifest. To destroy the works of Satan. Satan's work is so rampant that it took the blood of a sinless man to stop him. And we now have to come under that covenant blood. Daily, you're supposed to ask him to cover you with his blood. Because there is where you're going to find refuge from the enemy. If anything that Satan hates is the blood of Jesus. His blood. That's how potent it is. It was potent then, and it is still potent now, and it's going to be potent forever. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation, they saw the Lamb that was slain. And we overcome by his testimony and by the blood. It is a blood that is going to make us overcomers. Praise the Lord. So this woman, she persevered with her plea. And Yeshua effectively tested her faith by telling her he was not sent. He was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Imagine that. You coming to someone to heal you. And that person going to say, well, I didn't come here for you. I came here for my own people. But John 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So it was a turn of tide. Because they derided him. They didn't want to hear him. They every time he says something, they contradicted him. They were always looking for reason to condemn him. And then there were people that were ready. The Gentiles were ready to receive him. And the Jews look at them as outcasts. But they were ready to receive him. As he went to Tyre and Sidon, this woman, why did he go to these places? He left Jerusalem and he went over there. He was getting ready to move his message from the very people that contradicted him to the people that were ready to receive him. Matthew 21 and 43 tells us that the kingdom shall be taken away from the unbelieving Jews and given to the believing Gentiles. They had the whole bread. He came to give them the whole bread. He even told the woman, why must I take the children's bread and cast it to dogs? He called her a dog. Isn't that belittling? I come to you for help. Are you calling me a dog? How many of you would have stayed there? I come to Pastor Jim and I need some help. And Pastor Jim is going to tell me, well, my sister, what I have is for my people. I don't have anything to give to you. You're a dog. How would you feel? How will you feel? You will walk away. And everybody on Facebook will know. Everybody on Facebook will know what Pastor Jim did. But this woman didn't do that. You know what she did? She began to worship him. She said, yes, I may be a dog, but I'm a dog that will worship you, show you adoration, show you how much I love you. I will humble myself under your mighty hand that you will exalt me in due time. I may be a dog, but I know how to worship. John 4:23 says that Jehovah God, he looks, he searches for a worshiper. He loves a worshiper. However, we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. This woman worshiped Yeshua in spirit and truth. It's nothing. Psalms 22:3 says, he inhabits the praises of Israel. When we worship, you know, it's a difference between praise and worship, you know. When we worship God, we say, Lord, I thank you for my meal. I thank you for my home. I thank you for my job. I thank you for all the good things that you have done for me, Lord. But you know what is worship? When you don't have. When you can say, Lord, I don't have, but I love you anyhow. I know you will provide for me, Lord, without a shadow of a doubt. I trust in your power. I know, don't matter how bleak the situation may be, because you are in this ship, I shall not sink. The storms will recede. The winds will obey, because you are right here with me. That's worship. And that's what this woman did. She had hope deep within that Yeshua was going to heal her daughter. And she held on to her belief. She was not dissuaded. Instead, she was fully persuaded. And she went before him and she said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, I believe in you. I know you are going to heal my daughter. And she started to worship him. As Yeshua looked at her and he said, wow, what great faith. And if you realize that there were two people that Yeshua told that they had great faith, it was this Syrophoenician woman and the centurion man. And they were both Gentiles. Isn't that something? He saw the faith in these people. The centurion man said, just say the word. I'm a man in authority. And I know what it is to give orders. So you are in authority, and I believe your word is true. Just say the word, and it shall be done. This woman, although she was called a dog, because we know in those days, the Jews looked down at the Gentiles and called them dogs. That was a manner of speech for them, you know, whether it was very rhetorical, they called them dogs. But was Jesus being rhetorical when he called the woman dog? No, he wasn't. It was just a test. His delay is not his denial. He stayed quiet. He listened. He tested her. She passed the test with flying colors. How many of us are going to pass our test with flying colors? We mumble, we complain, like the children of Israel. They want to go back to their onions. They want to go back to their leeks. They're never satisfied, no matter how God tries. We never satisfied. From the time, you know, it starts a little rain, you start to have an overcast, you start to complain. The weather changes and start to complain. Somebody may not meet up to your expectation, you start to complain. Why do we like to complain like that? Why can't we be satisfied and hope for the best? The best is yet to come. Whatever we may be going through right now, it is temporary. We have to look forward to that day when we will be in the New Jerusalem enjoying life with our Savior who died on the cross, who was afflicted for us, where we can spend eternity with him. That is what we're supposed to be looking forward to. So, saints of God, just remember, it is just a test. And sometimes when our prayers are not answered, could be some of the reasons why our prayers are not answered. 1 Peter 3 and 7 says, marriage relationship in turmoil. Matthew 5, 23 to 24, knowingly offending others. You know, sometimes we offend others and we would not go to them and say we're sorry. And we just keep offending them over and over. But then we're talking about God and how we trust God. And if you trust God but you're still hurting your brothers and sisters, your prayers will be hindered. Matthew 6, 14 to 15, unforgiveness. Many people walk around with unforgiveness. I could never forgive she what she has done. I was so good to her. I gave her the best. And look what she, oh my God. Unforgiveness. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that trespass against us. Malachi 3:8-9, unfaithfulness in stewardship. Many of us are very, very unfaithful in our stewardship. He said, bring your tithes into my storehouse. We don't obey. I mean to say, if you don't obey God, how you expect him to answer your prayer? You have to walk in line with his will to be able to get answers from him. You can't be disobedient and get answers from him. 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 23, deliberate disobedience like Saul of Kish. He was told to wait on Samuel, but no, he decided to do his own thing. And Samuel had to tell him obedience is better than sacrifice and to hearken is better than the fat of the ram. We must learn to obey Yahweh. Psalm 66 and 18 said, cherish and unconfessed sin. Many of us walk around with cherish and unconfessed sin. We wouldn't confess. We need to confess to Yah every day, especially when you're going to bed at night. Don't go to bed at night and you sin during the day. Sometimes you may feel that we may not steal or we may not fornicate, but sometimes some conversations that we may have, we sin against him. It could be just a thought. Sometimes some weird thoughts may just pass through our mind. Say, Lord, it caused you to just shiver. Confess. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to take those thoughts away because they could materialize into words or actions. Because there is where it starts, you know. It starts from our thoughts. And then it starts come running right through our mouth or our actions. Yeah, they always say actions speak louder than words. Control your thoughts. And Daniel 10, 12 to 13, the enemies. Interference. You heard about Daniel when he was fasting. He wanted to know when they were going to go back to Jerusalem. And then what happened? Angel Gabriel told Daniel from the time he set his heart in order, God had sent the answer to him. But who stopped him? The prince of Persia. And who had to come rescue him? Michael the archangel. So he had a battle. So sometimes our prayers get stopped by the enemy. But it's on its way. It will come. Climb on that tower and wait. Though the vision tarry, it will come. It will speak the truth and it will not lie. So saints of God, be encouraged. God's delay is not his denial. It is just a test. So may God richly bless you. May we all pass that test. So on that glorious day, we will see each other. Isn't that a good hope? Isn't that a lively hope? Isn't that something that we should look forward to? Well, I'm looking forward to that. So may God bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.